Good afternoon, and thank you for joining today's conference call. I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and I'll be moderating our conversation today. Currently, all lines are in listen-only mode. We are pleased to welcome Secretary Penny Pritzker, U.S. Secretary of Commerce, and Ambassador Michael Froman, United States Trade Rep. They're here to give an update and take your questions on the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Before we get started, I'd like to cover two housekeeping items. First, this call is on the record, and there may be reporters on the line. Second, an important part of this call is time for you to ask questions and make comments. You can do this in one of two ways. First, just press 1 on your dial pad at any time during this call, and you'll be added to our queue. Or you can just email your question to info@businessfwd.org. Again, to ask a question live, just press 1 on your dial pad, or you can email your question to us at info@businessfwd.org. With that, we'll get started. Please welcome Secretary Penny Pritzker.
Oh, thank you, Jim, and thanks to all of you for taking time to join this call. You know, having spent 27 years in the private sector before taking on this role at Commerce, I know that time is your greatest resource, and so I appreciate your spending a few minutes with us. Today, Ambassador Froman and I want to tell you why TPP is not only good for your business, but it's also good for our economy, good for our standing in the world, and good for our national security. As large and diverse as our country is, we still only account for 5% of the global population. So that means 95% of the world's consumers live outside our border, and 80% of the world's purchasing power is outside the United States. And too often, American companies lack equal access to foreign markets and confront significant barriers to entry. So for example, if you're an auto goods producer, you face a 70% tariff in Vietnam. Or if you make machinery or capital equipment, you face a 59% tariff in Malaysia. And if you're in the agriculture business, for example, and you produce poultry, you face a 40% tariff in Japan. So on day one, TPP will eliminate 98% of these tariffs. So 98% of the tariffs will go away. This means that 18,000 tariffs, which are like taxes on your products and services, will be gone immediately. And by linking the U.S. with some of the fastest growing countries, which are part of the TPP agreement, we will strengthen existing supply chains and build new ones across a region that comprises 40% of global GDP. So TPP is also designed to really help small businesses grow. There are provisions that reduce red tape and costly export delays. So let me give you a specific example, because it's much easier to understand the value of this agreement if I talk about a particular company. So if you took Auburn Leather Company, which has manufactured leather products in Auburn, Kentucky for over 150 years. Over the last 20 years, Auburn Leather has grown from just 12 employees to 110 men and women in the United States who today make 1 million leather shoelaces a week. Now, how did they get there? They got there because they are able to export their products around the world. So with annual export sales of $14.5 million, Auburn Leather ships their products to 29 countries, including TPP partners Vietnam, Japan, and Mexico. These exports directly support 86 of the company's 110 employees. Yet in several TPP markets, Auburn Leather faces tariffs as high as 20%. Hurting sales and limiting job growth here in America. So TPP would immediately eliminate those tariffs and level the playing field for small businesses like Auburn Leather so that they could compete in the fastest growing region in the world, which is the Asia Pacific region. Now, all of us know small businesses and like yours are the backbone of our U.S. economy. You account for nearly two-thirds of net new private sector jobs created here in the United States in the past few decades. And small businesses that export to foreign markets sell more, support more jobs, and pay higher wages than small businesses that don't export. And while 98%, and this fact gets lost a lot, 98% of U.S. exporters are small businesses. So we can't forget that really the agreement that we put in place, aside from reducing tariffs, also reduces red tape, customs challenges, improves your ability to do e-commerce and so many other things. So this means there's a huge untapped potential for small businesses, those that both export, and frankly, we don't have enough companies that export. Only 5% of all U.S. businesses export goods. So there's huge untapped potential for small businesses to increase their revenues and support jobs by exporting the goods and the services that you all create. And TPP, for the very first time in any trade agreement, created a dedicated chapter to small and medium-sized businesses that focuses on how small businesses can benefit from trade. So as the trade agreement with the most extensive protections for the digital economy, TPP prohibits tariffs on digital products. It promotes the use of electronic signatures in e-commerce transactions, and it helps ensure the free flow of data across borders, all of which are critical to small businesses and large businesses. All businesses, as we all know, now we all rely upon the internet to access new markets and sell your goods. So TPP will address trade barriers that propose the disproportionate challenges to small businesses, like high tariffs, overly complex trade paperwork, corruption, customs red tape, restrictions on internet data flows, weak logistics services that raise costs for you to get your goods and services into a foreign country, and slow delivery of small shipments. All of those issues are addressed in TPP. Look, Fortune 500 companies, they can dedicate huge teams of lawyers to figure out how to do business in another country, despite these challenges that I just listed. But you, as small businesses, and I know this from my own background, we can't. And that's what TPP will do for you. It will help you. So the benefits of TPP are clear, but the trade deal is really only as good as enforcement. And, you know, at the Department of Commerce, we are fully committed, like the U.S. Trade Representative, to enforcing U.S. trade laws and ensuring that our partners comply with their obligations under the World Trade Organization and our free trade agreements. So we're fully dedicated to making sure that the 11 other countries who are TPP countries, that they will comply with the deal that they've signed up for. And we've been cracking down on companies and countries that don't play by the rules in record numbers. So, for example, we currently have 350 anti-dumping and countervailing duty cases outstanding, where we've adjudicated those cases and found penalties. That's a 15-year high. And once TPP is implemented, we intend to strongly enforce the new trade rules in that agreement as well, just as we have with past trade agreements. But in order for you all to have the benefits of TPP and, you know, and we have the opportunity to enforce its strong rules, we need to get the agreement signed into law. And we deem it done now because our competition is not standing still. Other countries in the region are signing free trade agreements, and they're looking to keep the United States out and to keep the United States and your businesses at a disadvantage. So we need your help. Thank you very much, Jim, for asking me to join you.
Thank you very much, Secretary. Ambassador Froman?
Well, thanks very much, Jim, and Secretary Pritzker. And let me just say, I think Penny has really laid out the case very well on the economic side. The only thing I would add to it is the obvious point that we don't live in a static world. The rest of the world isn't just waiting on the sidelines. They're moving ahead with their own trade agreements. China right now, as an example, is negotiating a trade agreement, sort of its equivalent of TPP. It covers 16 countries ranging from India to Japan. And if that agreement moves forward and TPP doesn't, we're actually going to see ourselves cut out of markets, because China and those other countries will have preferential access to those markets, and we'll be on the outside facing high tariffs. Also, the rules of those agreements, they are not the same as the rules that we negotiate. So there's nothing in there on raising labor and environmental standards in these other countries, or in ensuring that intellectual property rights are protected. Or as Secretary Pritzker mentioned, making sure that the digital economy remains open and free, and there's the free flow of data, and that e-commerce can take place in the way that we're used to. TPP is the only trade agreement that's really fully taken on the whole issue of government-owned corporations, these large state-owned enterprises that other governments have, to make sure that when they compete against our private firms, it's a fair and level playing field. So it's not just a question of the status quo versus TPP. It's what happens if TPP doesn't pass and the rest of the world moves on. We'll actually see our economic prospects deteriorate. The last thing I would say is trade agreements, first and foremost, have to be about the economics. How do they help support small businesses, workers, farmers, ranchers in our country? But this also has large strategic implications. Every country in the Asia Pacific needs to have a good and constructive relationship with China. But the more that China exerts itself, the more our partners in the region want us to be involved there as well, to balance, to be a way for them to diversify their partnerships, diversify their markets. And that has broad strategic implications. And you've heard that from everyone from Prime Minister Lee of Singapore, or Prime Minister Abe of Japan, Prime Minister Key of New Zealand, all of whom have made clear that if the U.S. fails to move forward with TPP, it'll be a significant setback for American leadership in the region. So there's a lot at stake here. As Secretary Pritzker said, now is really the time when Congress gets back from this election. We have a window to get it done. We have a pathway to get it done. There's so much uncertainty in the future about what direction some of these issues may be taken in, that there's a real premium on acting now to get it done. And we've done a lot of work with a wide range of agriculture, manufacturing, service, technology companies and associations. This agreement's got broader support across the economy than I think any other trade agreement in history. And I will say that when we talk to members of Congress, when they have heard from businesses in their district, and it doesn't have to be the big businesses. In fact, frankly, it's even more important to hear from the small, medium-sized businesses of how opening other markets, how leveling the playing field is going to allow them to add another shift, expand their business, hire some more workers. That has a tremendous impact on members of Congress' perspective on these trade agreements. So.